Hey, it's Mike Robb. Pauly Perrette has stepped into a new role. This time, it's animated. We'll find out about what it was like for her to be part of Scooby-Doo Meets Kiss. Plus, fellow radio guy Mike Catherwood talks about acting and his new gig as part of the reboot of Chain Reaction on the Game Show Network. Let's get to the point.
This is the point.
Actress Pauly Perrette has been solving crimes for quite a while with the guys at NCIS, but now she's involved with a different group of detectives in the new animated feature Scooby-Doo Meets Kiss. And she told me that the world of animation is still a little new to her.
What's super interesting about whenever you do any animation is you're usually working by yourself. That's the biggest difference. So, you know, on NCIS, everything that's awesome about being on NCIS, which is everything, is that, you know, especially we've been together 13 years, so we have a really amazing, like, dance that we do between us and the other characters. And we all, like, kind of work together. Like, with this one, with the Crimson Witch, you know, when they called me, I was like, because I just played Lois Lane for Warner Brothers, and then they called me, and it's like, literally, I think the conversation was something like this. Hey, do you want to be a part of Scooby-Doo Meets Kid? Yes, because come on. And then, I get the thing, and you're in there, and it's like, you know, you're by yourself. They don't give you a script, so you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't get to read the whole thing. So I'm in here doing this crazy, like, thing, this witch character, and, and all I see, there's no reason for them to show me anything except for, like, the cells that I'm voicing. In the beginning, you just have, like, the picture, right? When I go back and did, like, some stuff other than I saw the animation. But then by the time, like, my fiance and I were going to watch it the other night, I had no idea what I've been doing. I had no idea. I didn't know I don't know what was happening. And I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is, the movie's so crazy. It's so perfectly nuts. And you can't put the pieces together about what you're doing until you actually see the whole film. Because you're by yourself.
Hearing her voice come out of a much different-looking character was also a new experience.
It's just kind of weird. It's funny because, like, I'm used to hearing my voice and when it's attached to my head, you know, my own actual head. And especially with Abby, like, I associate all that with her. Abby has a little bit different voice than I do. But it's always kind of weird when you see, like, a completely different being with your voice coming out of it. Like, that's strange. Any incarnation of your voice, even if I have, like, changed my voice or playing, like, somebody younger, I'm like, it's still my voice on that 14-year-old, you know.
Pauly had connections with both Scooby-Doo and Kiss, beginning with a relationship with Gene Simmons.
I love them both. I really do. I mean, not only do I love Kiss, who doesn't love Kiss, but I've been friends with Gene for like 15 years. So we've actually done we did another project together a while ago. Yeah, he actually produced it. Before he was like in his new TV thing that he was doing, he produced a TV show. It was a thing. And he hired me as his lead actress. We had a blast. It was so much fun. We did this TV show and like, it was, and we would call it the FOG, it was the Friends of Gene. It's like everybody was in it. It was like, it was me and Gene, and then it was like Hugh Hefner and Tommy Lee and Mark McGrath and Pat Boone. Like, I mean, it was we had a blast, and I adore him. So Uncle Gene. So that was, you know, of course, do anything for him.
And as for Scooby-Doo.
Oh gosh. Well, when I was little, I wasn't really allowed to watch much TV or film. Like, I was literally in church all the time. I'm from the South. I'm very much from the South. But for some reason, I don't know if my dad was gone or whatever, I remember watching Scooby-Doo. I do, because I loved it so much. And you know, that's our whole thing on NCIS is, like, we are very Scooby-Doo, like, on there. Like, very much so. Like, we have our capers, we have our thing. And pretty much every episode, there's a moment where we'll go, like, this is so Scooby-Doo right now. Like, it totally is. And we actually do those things. Like, our heads pop around doorways and stuff, you know. But, yeah, I love it. I mean, like I said, who doesn't love Kiss? Who doesn't love Scooby-Doo?
Catch Pauly along with Matthew Lillard and, of course, Kiss in Scooby-Doo Meets Kiss. Available right now on Blu-ray, DVD, and video on demand. Looks like Gambit is a go. All that and more as we check the latest in pop culture. Production has begun on the sci-fi version of Hunters, which is based on the best-selling novel Alien Hunter. It'll premiere on the network in 2016. Gail Ann Hurd is one of the executive producers. And Natalie Chedez from 12 Monkeys will also be an executive producer and showrunner when the show premieres again sometime next year. There's one time where the internet rumor mill got it wrong. It looks like Channing Tatum will be doing a Gambit film, both producing it and starring in it for Fox. There seems to already be a script in place, which came from a treatment by Gambit co-creator Chris Claremont. No official word yet, though, from Fox. It looks like the entire upcoming third and final season of Starz Da Vinci's Demons will be released simultaneously on the Starz Play and Starz On Demand apps as well. That'll also include their new limited series as well, Flesh and Bone from Starz. Both are done in hopes to create some buzz for the final season of Da Vinci's Demons and, of course, the first run of Flesh and Bone. Meanwhile, Black Sails seems to have a few more years left in it. The drama has been highly rated on Starz, and it'll be coming back for a third season next year with already a fourth season planned for sometime in 2017 by the network. Thomas the Tank Engine has debuted with a new app in the App Store, produced by Mattel and Toy Talk. The app is interactive, and again, it's rated as kid-safe to certify to comply with the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. It is available, as we said, in the App Store right now. The success of Lifetime's Unreal series seems to be spreading. Not only has the network already announced plans for a second season, but now there's a possibility of a spinoff from one of the characters as well, although no official word yet on that from Lifetime. The Point, The Point. Mike Catherwood is a guy who's all over show business. You've seen him sitting next to Dr. Drew on Loveline. He's been on shows like Undateable and, of course, Dancing with the Stars. And then there's his daily radio show on KABC in Los Angeles. And now he's involved with the reboot of an 80s game show called Chain Reaction. And he talked about the basics of the show.
The theme of the show is chains of words, and you try to connect them. You're given the first word in the chain and the last word in the chain. And you and your teammate have to come up with all the links of words in the middle. And it's pretty simple, straightforward, and it's kind of fast-paced, and it sets people up to say a lot of dumb answers, which is awesome.
So looking back at the 80s version of the show, what's different about this one?
Well, the difference about the 80s version and this one is that there's a lot less cocaine in this version and a lot less stubble and white sport coats. The difference is, it's pretty much the same basic game, but there's now the added bonus round where you can kind of beef up your winnings. And but besides that, the game itself is pretty much the same. And that's one of the things I actually like about it, is that it's we're kind of inundated with a lot of like new twists on game shows. And Chain Reaction is very much a classic game show. There's no serious twist. There's no nothing too heady. It's all about having fun, and it's very straightforward, and I like it. I really, really enjoy being a part of it.
From all of his other gigs, was becoming a game show host a natural evolution?
I don't know if it was natural in the sense that, like, people involved in my career, you know, in my people, as they say, would have ever saw that coming, but it definitely was something I always wanted to do. I was not at all like aversive to it when the opportunity came my way. When I was a little kid, I definitely wanted to be a game show host. I know that sounds so canned and corny and contrived, but it's totally true. When I was a little kid, I used to watch Chuck Barrett, and I used to watch, you know, Bob Barker at the beginning of the tenure there, and I thought, it's so cool. Like, you're surrounding yourself with people that are all in a good mood and having fun, and you just kind of bust chops. And that's it. That's a guy's job. I want to do that. And so sure enough, here I am. When I got down, when I really came to the realization that I would have a career in radio and that this was what I was going to do, I would have never thought that would have been a natural progression, but I'm certainly happy that it is.
So any more acting roles coming up?
You know, I'd love to start making more of a career as a talk show host, you know, do what I do in radio and then start to transfer over into doing it on television. But to be honest, I'm just so happy to be able to say that I can make a living. I mean, I hate to sound unambitious, but just to be able to live a comfortable life and know that I can support my family, or at least contribute to supporting my family and doing something that I really love. I don't take that for granted. And if I can continue doing that till I retire, that would be beyond my wildest dreams. So I'm not taking anything that's thrown my way for granted, and I'm just kind of doing the best I can with that. But I know I should probably work on, at least according to my agent, I should start having these like concrete goals. But I just don't. I'm just really kind of happy to be where I'm at.
How did radio begin for Mike?
Kind of by accident. I always was a real radio geek. I loved it. I had a passion for it. But I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a musician, you know, when I was in high school. And I got a little bit of success doing it. But I let the lifestyle catch up with me a little bit more than the actual music. And when I moved back to Los Angeles, which is where I'm from, I was living on the East Coast at the time. I was down and out. I was trying to get my life together. And I got a job at a local rock radio station here in L.A., K-Rock, as a straight job, like trying to just pay the bills while I looked for other work in music. And that just by utter circumstance and chance turned into a career in radio. The morning show after a short amount of time put me on the air, and things just kind of snowballed from there.
Being a guy who still does radio on a daily basis, like some other folks we know, I was curious about Mike's opinion about the current state of the industry. The podcasting and streaming, is radio as we've known it pretty much over?
I think a very, very good question. And radio as we know it, just kind of basic terrestrial radio, I think is, just because that may be a dying medium as we know it, and I think when people deny that, they're just kidding themselves. You know, with streaming, with podcasting, with satellites, it's an archaic kind of way to receive media, but that doesn't mean that there's not ever going to be, there's always going to be a need for talented broadcasters, for men and women who can be charismatic and compelling, well-informed and articulate. There's never going to be a time where there's not a career for those guys and gals. And so if you do that, if that's what you want to do, you just know that it may come out on the other end in a different way than, you know, my father listened to radio the way that I'm in radio. In 10 years, it may be a different thing, but it doesn't mean that the center of it, the heart of it is any different. And that's, you know, saying something interesting. And people are always going to want to tune into that.
Catch Mike playing Chain Reaction with new episodes every Thursday on the Game Show Network. That's it for now, but on the way, we'll take a look at the new DC direct-to-DVD feature and tie into Legos, the JLA Legion of Doom. Plus, I'll talk with the cast of the hit FX series Married back for a second season. All that and more, you'll find us on great websites like ComicMix.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, we're easy to find under The Point Radio. See you back here in a few days. Get the-